Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We live in a world that continues to increase in its unbelief in God. A majority of the world's population still believes in some type of higher power, some sort of divine entity. But more and more people are slipping into that way of full unbelief. Following the Enlightenment, philosophers and scientists gained ground with their questioning of God's true existence. Charles Darwin's theory of evolution has given many scientists and others like them the opportunity to promote an alternate origin of the universe, one free from the likes of God. And in recent history, pushes are constantly being made to remove the mention of God from the public square, from our courtrooms, our schools, our government. Remove prayer, remove the Ten Commandments, remove nativity scenes. Happy holidays, not Merry Christmas. And while it is becoming more and more common to deny the outright existence of God, what is an even more ominous task is convincing mankind that God has actually become one of us. Sure, there are many world religions that have had stories of divine beings taking on mortal human flesh, but most do not believe these God-men ever were meant to walk the earth for long, or were fully God in their midst. And many of these religions no longer exist, such as Egyptian, Greek, and Roman mythology. The farther something tends to be in the past, the less likely mankind is to believe it, as we see evidenced more and more today. In order to believe something so spectacular that God was truly a man here in our presence, the greatest and the clearest of evidence must be presented. For the Old Testament people of God, their evidence was clear. Throughout the generations, many of those who were the chosen people of God beheld God in His mighty power. If they were not eyewitnesses themselves, then they knew someone who was, who had seen the mighty hand of God. Moses and Aaron saw that hand of God with their own eyes as He performed great sign after great sign in front of the Egyptian army. Hundreds of thousands of the Hebrew people walked through the Red Sea on totally dry ground, with massive walls of water on either side of them. Manna, bread from heaven, was dropped down every morning for them to eat, and quail descended upon their camp every night for their food. Shoes and clothing never wore out as they wandered through the wilderness. The fortified walls of that great city of Jericho collapsed like sand at that trumpet blast. Samson was empowered to slaughter 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. Gideon and his army of 300 were able to soundly defeat the entirety of the Midianite forces. In addition to all of these and more, the people of God had their songs, their writings that documented all of these great things that God had truly done. Such as Psalm 65, where it says, "By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness, O God of our salvation, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves." Psalm 89 proclaims, "O Lord, God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, you rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them." And Psalm 107 proclaims the might of the work of our Lord. "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Every Jewish man and woman worth their salt would certainly be familiar with these great songs of praise of the one true God. And Jesus' own disciples, raised in that faith, would be no exception. And these men, followers of Christ, disciples chosen by him, had just witnessed this same Jesus feed thousands of people with only 5 small loaves of bread and 2 fish. Miraculously, Jesus caused those little 7 items to continue to be enough for all gathered around. And there were even 12 full baskets left over. They had feasted, banqueted with the Lord Jesus himself there in the wilderness. And these disciples of Jesus, they knew that Jesus had healed a man with a withered hand already, as recorded in Mark's gospel. They saw Jesus cast out demons with the power of his voice, and 3 of them were certainly present when Jesus raised that little girl from the dead. And a violent Galilean storm, at least one had already succumbed to the great voice of Jesus with his disciples present with him. And following there that stupendous feast in that desolate place, the disciples of Jesus then should have had at least a little bit of readiness for what was about to come. Jesus had sent them out ahead of himself, back across the sea to Bethsaida. And Jesus remained behind to wrap things up with the crowd, sending them out then on their merry way. And he then even went up on a nearby mountain for some time alone to pray with his Father. And after several hours of doing that, finally into the 4th watch of the night, the wee hours of the morning, Jesus decided to catch up with his disciples. Instead of finding another boat nearby to traverse himself across the sea or stumbling through a rocky path along the coast to the other side, Jesus did truly the unthinkable. He set out upon the sea itself. And when he did finally catch up with his disciples, they still were making difficult headway across the sea. They were worn out. They were stressed out. And Mark tells us that Jesus meant simply to pass by them. But this was not rudeness on Jesus' part. Rather, it would be much like God did with Moses and with Elijah, passing by them with the true sign of his presence. But the men's reaction was one of fear and one of great trembling. They were terrified. They did not know what in the world they were seeing. The best that they could come up with was that they were seeing a ghost. But Jesus immediately spoke out to them, saying, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." Here, these men were seeing what Jesus could do as only God could do. And they saw Jesus, this man that they knew now, fulfill yet another Old Testament text, this time from Job chapter 9. "God is he who commands the sun, and it does not rise, who seals up the stars, who alone stretched out the heavens and trampled the waves of the sea." The disciples of Jesus had just seen him trample the waves of the sea, just like Job had spoken about the one true God. The Lord God Almighty, the same God who performed all of those signs throughout Israel's history, was there, making his presence known amongst his people yet again. And in this man, Jesus Christ, miraculous feeding showed his great power over the needs of this bodily life. And miraculous walking upon the water revealed his power over this turbulent creation. And our reaction to this, to Jesus the Christ, should also be fear and trembling. Nothing that we can come up with to say about him is ever good enough. And so it is best to speak back to God what he has spoken already about himself, hence the beauty of the liturgy of our divine service. And even though we believe Jesus to be God in the flesh according to the scriptures, still we remain here as poor, miserable sinners. The righteousness, the full purity of our Savior does not keep us from sin, from thinking lustful, greedy, angry thoughts, though it should. The power that the Lord Jesus Christ has over all things in this world still does not eliminate our fear of sickness, of death, and of not having control in our lives. But it should. Our old Adam, our old man, our sinful selves still hold tight to us, and they will until the day we die. The only solution while we live on here in this life is to receive again and again the very grace of God in Christ Jesus. Confess your sin. Repent of your sin and be absolved of your sin. And God's means for this great solution are surely His spoken and preached word and His rightly administered sacraments. This busted and wicked world around us will continue on in its rebellion against God and His Christ. It will not stop until the last day. And more people will continue to publicly denounce the reality of God, and even more will reject the divinity of Jesus and His work as the Savior of all mankind. For yes, St. Paul's words remain ever true. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block for Jews and folly to the Greeks. But to us who are being saved, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And as St. Peter once asked, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So rightly, you flee to the only Lord Jesus Christ, who is fully God and fully man for you, just as He has made it known to you throughout His holy word. Forgiveness of sins is yours. Eternal life is yours. Salvation is yours. And all because of Jesus, who is truly yours, true God and true man, forever and ever. Amen. The peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and unto life everlasting.